It's time for Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, a show with life-giving conversations that matter. And now, your host, Carrie Abbott.
Okay, are you ready? This is your principle for the day. And this always works. I can guarantee this one. That is, whenever you choose life, whenever you move in the direction of life, whenever you support life, whenever you honor and respect life, you are honoring and respecting the God who has given us life. And that's a fact. There's never been a time in my whole journey as a person, as a human being, where that did not happen to be true. And even when it's difficult when we choose life, even when we have to really, in a sense, fight for life, something changes in us. So often with our biblical worldview, or those of you who are just learning about faith and you're joining in this radio community, so often we think it's about us, that it will embellish my life. You know, that if I support life, then it's, you know, I'm a good person. But trust me, the lesson's going to come back in your life and you will be saturated by that principle. It will change you. It will humble you, and likely it will cause you to be more grateful for life. You know, you're pro-life when you can look at other people and value them. You know you're pro-life when, from all ages and all stages, you want to protect life. You can't help yourself. That's what happens to you. Sometimes people think pro-life people are zealots and kind of annoying. I wish that weren't true, but it's because they might see them picketing and think, oh, they're just out there. They're not out there. They've been taken on a journey. They chose at one point to step in and intervene for life. They just can't help themselves. So a little grace for those of you who wonder how someone can be a zealot. And for all of us, we need to remember that principle. When we choose life, it embellishes our life, but we are really entering into kingdom thinking. And I have a dear friend in studio who has been in the trenches on the life issue for a long time, and she has a role in the kingdom of God to work with embryo adoptions, a very unique role when it comes to the life issue, because it requires understanding, it requires science, and it requires a view of life that I dare say is a little braver maybe and a little farther than people are used to hearing about. And so Maria Lancaster with Cedar Park, or Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park, is here. She's been in the studio many times before. This is one of the ministries that the Legacy Institute loves to partner with, because we believe wholeheartedly that all life begins at conception. And sometimes that conception has a complicated story, but it is no less a life. And Maria, it is always great to have you in studio, because as I'm talking, you're nodding your head like, that's right, because this is what's been your experience as well, right?
It has. It has. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be on a journey where every day, more and more, God reveals how precious a life is, and how precious a life is to a family who trying to have children for 5, 8, 12 years and then hold that baby that was once frozen in their arms.
Yes.
And then seeing those people at the hospital and the grandparents. I mean, it's an experience you just cannot forget.
No. And I can tell you, I run into families that we have interfaced with because of you and the Ministry of Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. I now see people in the community and we hug each other and they're like, you know our story and here's our baby. And I see them at church and I see them around, and it blesses me greatly. And it's that principle that we are entering into a life-giving plan that God is active in, and we get to join him. We do not make life happen. He makes life happen, but we can co-labor with him and protect life, be part of life, have little acts of creation called babies. I mean, this is part of this life cycle that we are part of. The interesting thing about embryo adoptions, and for the person who's just tuned in, has never heard us have a conversation before, I always want you to explain how this works, because it's a basic truth, part of biology, but it's absolutely miraculous what's happening here. So why don't you explain the process?
Well, real quick, you know, my husband and I were struggled with infertility and had many miscarriages. And then my husband heard Dr. Jim Dobson talking on his radio program, interviewing a woman who had adopted someone else's embryos.
Frozen embryo.
After fertility treatments that were remaining, and the original family could not have any more children, and they made those embryos available to this lady he was interviewing. Mm-hmm. And my husband came home and said, this is what we're supposed to do, because I was like 47 years old, and pretty much it was the bottom of the ninth,
yes,
you know, as far as like maybe even extra innings in terms of my ability to be able to have a baby on my own, right? So this was an interjection of new information. We'd never heard of it before.
Right. I remember hearing those broadcasts back in the day when that first happened. And lo and behold, here we are many years later after you've had your own beautiful daughter and you were awakened to this ministry opportunity and you got to step in to be the leader of this ministry that now helps families all around the country match up with donor families who really understand that their frozen embryos are lives. Those are real people who've not been given the chance to develop fully. And then the transaction that you make is amazing. You actually bring these families together like a regular adoption agency, and the embryo is implanted into the mother's womb, and she gets to go through the full pregnancy, which is very unusual for adoption. And, of course, the process isn't perfect, like no biological process is here on planet Earth, and sometimes it doesn't take, but more often than not, you guys are incredibly successful. Right now, in 2016, you have 17 babies on the way?
We do. I'm super excited
about
that. You're
super busy as a grandmother to all these babies, right?
Yeah, it's getting complicated to send out all these birthday cards.
Right.
I've got
somebody
helping me now send out the birthday cards.
I bet
you really
do.
Fun.
That's incredible. Yeah. And again, these stories, 17 babies represent a lot of time and a lot of matching and a lot of home studies, all of which happen in this process.
Yes.
What I was interested when we talked about you coming in for a conversation, I wanted you and I to highlight the bigger picture around frozen embryos, because I don't want people to forget that many years ago, you and your husband and daughter went to the White House.
We did.
When President Bush was signing into law a protection or a veto on a bill that would have opened up, you know, embryonic stem cell research, realizing that these are lives. And you were part of that process. When President Obama came in, he actually undid that, didn't he?
He undid the veto. He did.
Yeah. And opening the floodgates to money for embryonic stem cell research. But the truth is that embryonic stem cell research has not been successful.
It really has played itself out
as
a cure for what people anticipated, like for Alzheimer's
and Parkinson's.
And so that, I think that they're still interested in the money to do the experiments, maybe for other things, but the big...
The
big push and the big social media blitz we had on it in that time period has really faded.
With Michael J. Fox and Superman, you know, and a beloved people who were struggling, people wanted to help. But the good news is adult stem cells that do not require doing any harm to these embryos has been successful.
Very successful. And they actually knew that then. But when you have the amount of money involved... then that is also the other sway.
Follow the money. Mm-hmm. It's true. That's really interesting. Well, and they also are willing to keep trying until somebody says, stop that, right? And that's what we've seen with science. So I wanted people to have that as a backdrop because you have a lot of good families with frozen embryos due to infertility treatments or they're not able to have
Well, they have options. They can donate them to research.
Right.
Or they can discard them. They can continue to freeze them. They can gestate them on their own. Or they can place them with another family. So they have choices to make.
Yeah.
And every choice has consequences.
Yes, it does. And those are big choices. We had a family in recently who chose to, because of the influence you've had in their life and other people on this show and just listening to the Lord, they felt that they would go ahead and have those babies. They did not, however, plan to have extra embryos. They really thought ahead. And yet the fertility treatment put them in a spot where they still had the embryo. So a lot of people have stories that we're not privy to, but they have these choices to make. Why would it be good for them to consider donating for embryo adoption? Explain that a little bit, because it is complicated.
Well, it's really, you know, unless they gestate themselves, it's the only choice where the child gets to live.
Okay.
I mean, it's the only choice where the child gets to live.
And because embryonic stem cell research is not effective, that is not a noble choice. I just want people to know that. I think that sometimes we get confused and people think, well, at least it's helping somebody else.
Right.
But truly, if we want to step into that life plan, and understand that we don't know why you have those embryos. That's not our discussion here. The reason how they got there is not for us to decide or discuss. But now that we know there's a life somewhere, you're in the business, in the ministry business, of really trying to rescue those lives and match them to a family. And so many young couples are struggling with their fertility, and mm-hmm. or couples who waited and they might be a little bit older, mm-hmm. and they don't even know that this is possible, that right. they can actually adopt like this. Mm-hmm. So the big surprise is this is happening all the time. You have a picture for me in studio right now of a baby who was a frozen embryo for 19 years.
Well, she was born almost 19 years after being frozen, but the, wow. this is a really interesting story. She was part of a set of embryos frozen in 1996, mm-hmm. and the donor mom contacted me and said, I would like to place my embryos for adoption, and she told me how long they'd been frozen, and my first reaction was, like, I hope I'm going to find a family that will be willing to take the chance, because
right.
that's a really long time yes. in the freezer.
Yeah.
And there have been children born. I know of one instance where the child was born almost 20 years. There's one 17 years, or was one at 19 years. We have one at 13 years. So there are, it does happen, but, you know,
it's riskier.
Yes. And it's not the freezing process that actually is the problem, that for the length of time in the freezer, it's that in the early years, so to speak, their techniques were still perfected. So then thawing them becomes more tricky and all of that. So actually, I mentioned this case to an embryologist, and he says, you know, to be honest with you, they can almost be frozen indefinitely.
Okay, that's amazing. I'm talking to Maria Lancaster with Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park. This ministry organization serves people nationwide. And maybe you're international now. I don't know. We can come back to that. But I want you to know that doesn't matter where you're hearing this show at. I know you're in different countries listening mm-hmm. to the show and different parts of the country. I know you know someone who's struggling with infertility, and maybe you yourself have felt an urge to expand your family and do adoption. Have you ever thought of embryo adoption? I mean, it's a little bit wilder in some people's mind, but listen, the stories are incredible, and I've seen the babies. We've had a stage full of babies at one of our events so we could see all the life. I mean, the Lord must just smile huge knowing what's going on in the secret places of the womb. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear more about some of the latest stories and how you can get involved in being part of the pattern of life. We'll be right back.
Do you know someone struggling with infertility or considering adoption? Embryo Adoption Services of Cedar Park is located here, but is a nationwide embryo donation and adoption service that is dedicated to bringing families together for life. Hear from Embryo Adoption of Cedar Park's co-founder, Maria Lancaster, as she explains some differences between fertility treatments and embryo adoption.
The good news is that embryo adoption is very affordable compared to IVF, and you get to give birth to your own baby.
Maria understands this process as she realized her long-awaited dream to have her own child when she and her husband adopted an embryo, experienced pregnancy and delivery, and now her precious daughter, Alicia, is 11 years old. Maria's passion is to help match up other families in this miraculous adoption process. For more information, go to adoptembryos.org or call 206-391-5042. 206-391-5042.
Do the young men in your life know how to be godly men? Are you ready to help them take the next step in their manhood? Kingdom Power Glory is a groundbreaking manhood study based on the Lord's Prayer to help all young men in their manhood journey, regardless of their story. It is aimed at older men training young men, fathers raising sons, and youth pastors teaching male students. This 10-session DVD study is intentionally masculine to raise the bar for young men who find their faith experience to be a bit feminized, men who want to understand true biblical masculinity. This study respects and honors all men by refusing to soft-pedal the kingdom message of Jesus. To get your Kingdom Power Glory Manhood Study and to help young men succeed in life, go to thelegacyinstitute.com. That's thelegacyinstitute.com or call 425-485-5346.
I love the thought-provoking conversations and the biblical teaching on Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott, but it isn't always convenient to tune in at a certain time each day.
I know. That's why I signed up for the free weekly radio recap by going to the radio page at carrieabbott.com. Links to the week's shows are delivered right to my email every Friday afternoon. Then I listen at my convenience on my computer or phone, and I can send my favorite shows to family and friends.
Get Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott sent directly to you by by going to carrieabbott.com and sign up today. That's carrieabbott.com.
Then sings my soul.
And now, back to more Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott.
So many questions come to mind. You should see us in studio. My producer, who's really smart. And you've done, how many shows have we done with Maria? You know all about this. Now, he asked the right question. If you have a 19-year-old frozen embryo, are there diseases that happen with these babies because of this process? And Maria, what's the answer?
No, because they're genetically made at the time of conception, mm-hmm. and being frozen doesn't alter their genes.
So if there's a non-viable embryo, that's going to show up in the pregnancy process, much like it would just any other.
Well,
process.
It'll show up in the thawing process, okay. or sometimes, for instance, these embryos that were that from this particular family, those they were only at 8 cells, and so you know they might not start developing again if there's something wrong.
Okay.
And so the embryo has to go through a series of a billion replications. And if it doesn't line up right, then, you know, the pregnancy doesn't continue and
right.
they miscarry, which okay. is very common with natural pregnancies.
It is. It is.
Like
had
one
a couple
in four.
Myself. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And that is, we say it's nature's way. I don't know how we're going to put that, you know, in God's sovereign will about life. There is disease in the world and that does affect pregnancy. Going back to this family that contacted you with this 19-year-old embryo in the freezer,
mm-hmm.
what is it like for the donor family? We talk often about the families who receive these gifts of these embryos and implant baby, and you know they get to have the pregnancy. We have the babies in the studio, mm-hmm. and I get, you know, as we've said, we actually get to know them. What's it like for the family who does the donation? Because there is a loss there, but also there must be a joy.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword, and you know, there's the hope that there's a child, but then there's also the loss that they're having to give up that child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a mixed bag. And sometimes in the beginning, it's really quite painful.
Aww.
I really work with people to just take it a day at a time,
yeah.
and let the process just play itself out, because
yeah.
sometimes people don't get pregnant and then,
right.
you know, but they've given the child a chance to be born.
Yeah.
And then once someone is pregnant, you know, it takes time for the child to be born. So then the beginning of the relationship between mm-hmm. both families can start.
Now, is it always open?
No, it's not always
okay.
open.
That's
but we
their
have
choice.
A lot. We have mostly semi-open.
Okay.
And this particular mother really struck me because her son was like 18 years old, and yet she knew she had these embryos in the freezer
wow.
being frozen for so many years, and she paid the storage bill for all these years,
wow.
you know, knowing they were real and
wow.
knowing they were lives. And so I really got to know her, and I appreciated her honesty
mm-hmm.
and her ability to communicate how she was feeling about
yeah.
the process, you
yeah.
know. And we found a great family for her that she just loves. And the family, incidentally, had adopted other embryos from another agency and had two adopted embryos, children, already.
Mm.
And so they wanted to have a third child, and they decided to go through our agency instead.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, I just found this is God. It's just so God. And I think actually God did it to bless this mom who gave up these
yes.
embryos, because the embryos were thawed 18 years to the day.
Really?
Yes, to the day.
Wow.
And then,
wow.
so both mothers found out on Mother's Day, coincidentally, 18 years apart that they
wow.
were pregnant.
That's amazing.
Now, you can't make that stuff
no,
up.
No, no. And it's a precious way of God saying, I ultimately am in charge of life. If you join me in the process,
mm-hmm.
you will be blessed.
It's a blessing.
And you will sacrifice. The thing is, birth moms, who I think are some of the most courageous people on the planet, who by whatever reason feel the need to create an adoption plan for one of their children.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
It is.
And I'm sure it involves the same emotion, but there is a sense of I've done the right thing. Mm-hmm. I've given life to my child. Ultimately, they'll be reunited in heaven, which is eternal. And I want people to know that if your view of life is big enough, it will sustain you for eternity. If we choose now things just so that we avoid pain or that we can sort of keep our story within our control, I want you to know, step back. As hard as it is to say yes to life, and sometimes it's stories that bring, you know, hurt or embarrassment or reminds us of a history we don't want to go back to. Let's live in agreement with God's design for life whenever we can, because it is life changing. And now we have these little human beings made in God's image that are going to enter into the world at this time for their purpose. And only God could know that. I mean, 18 years later, that's just absolutely amazing. So what's it like for the families? We've interviewed many on this show, and I encourage you to go back to our archives and download the shows with Maria Lancaster and the different families we've brought in. Because they're tearjerkers. I cry every time. It doesn't matter how many babies we're talking about. But what really is going on in the hearts and minds of the recipient families, they just seem to have a continual joy because they tried so many years often to get pregnant.
I think for most people that embryo adoption is, you know, something that looks interesting only after you've pretty much knocked yourself out doing almost everything else.
You're right.
So it's kind of the end of the road for most people. I mean, there's exceptions to that rule, but for most people, they've
I think that's fair to say.
You know, it's just pretty much they've been through a rugged road by the time they get to me.
Yes.
And so we do rematch people for free if it doesn't work.
Okay.
And we will keep rematching people for free if it doesn't work.
Because that's amazing.
Once people come to us, they've already been through a rough road. Then if we match them with embryos and let's say it doesn't work, then it's just too much distraught.
Yeah.
Too much pain. So we just like, okay, we're going to try this again. And actually we have a lady who just got pregnant the other day who, was a person who had to be rematched three times.
Wow.
And, she came from another state, flew into Seattle to a doctor we have here that's really good. And, she had her embryo transferred. And now she's going to have a baby. So,
goodness sakes, what a ministry opportunity to help bind the wounds of those who've suffered. Mm-hmm. It is suffering. If you've biologically have not had challenges having children, it's hard to understand this. But when you've gone through years of painstaking processes to try to get pregnant, it really is heartbreaking for a lot of families. Well, and not just for the couple, for the parent, the grandparents,
everybody,
and for the family, the extended family. I've heard stories, many stories.
Well, poor couples who been married for 5 years and they go to all the functions and everybody's looking at them like, well, when are you going to have one?
Right.
You know, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say, I had my first child at almost 48. So when people that are 40 call me, I'm thinking, here's a young one. So if you're
it's all perspective.
So don't think you're too old for this.
Oh, you're just a baby. Yeah. And the truth is your health will determine that. And a lot of people are taking really good care of themselves. They postponed having children or they struggled having children. And so you really don't know.
Well, you can even do it postmenopausal. Some women go into early menopause at 35 years old. It does not matter.
Wow.
So this is another
thing that
they have hormones for that and it can be relieved and you can transfer an embryo and have a baby.
Incredible. Where do people go to get information? Because I know you have books that you want to give away as well. Souls on Ice is a fabulous book that all the stories of many of the people that Maria's worked with, including her own story. And she's going to give a few copies away for free. Where can people go to get information on how to reach you for this opportunity to adopt embryos or donate them? And then also for a copy of the book if they're interested.
Okay. So just go to adoptembryos.org. That is our website.
That's easy. Adoptembryos.org.
Mm-hmm. And there's a contact page on there and just about every page, so you can't miss it. Just send me an email and said I would like to have a copy of Souls on Ice, and send me your address, and I will, for the first 10 people who send me an email.
10?
Yeah, I'm going to be really generous.
You're very generous.
I will send out a free copy.
I love that. Listen, respond to this and get the book, especially for a young couple or somebody you know that's interested in this. It really is life-changing, and the stories are heartwarming as well as
It's inspirational and helps people, you know, break that mental barrier that, yes, other people have done this, and yes, I could do
this. It is a lot more common than people realize. Mm-hmm. And Maria Lancaster, we are so grateful for the work that you're doing, the ministry you're doing. I hate to call it work because it really is ministry, but it takes a lot of effort to make this happen. And you are a brave soul to be willing to do this, you and your family and the team that you have there. So give the website one more time.
AdoptEmbryos.org.
All right. And remember, Easter is this Sunday, of course. And so what a great time to be celebrating life, resurrection life. Mm-hmm. Jesus, of course, handled that on his own, but you can help resurrect a story with a frozen embryo. It's a perfect time to talk about redemption. Mm-hmm. We've had such a busy week. We've hardly even thought about Easter. There's a lot going on, mm-hmm. and yet it's one of the most important times for people of faith. So do you have big plans for Easter, Maria?
Well, my daughter has had the table set for 2 weeks, so I think there's something's happening.
I love it. Well, we've got big family plans, too. I'll give you the scoop on what we, the Abbots, did for Easter next week when we see you after the Sunday, after the weekend. But thanks so much for stopping into the studio, and everybody else, we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Relationship Insights with Carrie Abbott. This program is a ministry of the Legacy Institute and is listener-supported. Please donate today to keep this program on the air. To contact the Legacy Institute, write to P.O. Box 82746, Kenmore, Washington, 98028. The phone number is 425-485-5346 and online at thelegacyinstitute.com or carrieabbott.com.